Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Miss Elizabeth Moss had taught me how to smoke the fake cigarettes already, and this little wife, she's just standing there in her dress, standing on a hay bale. You know, she's jumping up and down the hay bale, like kicking hay, and smoking a cigarette. You don't own me, I'm not your property,
so take a shifty little beady eye off of me. It's wild. I never would have thought in a million years.
Welcome to Eyes on Gilead, our podcast dedicated to The Handmaid's Tale. There is a lot going on in this show, and we think it helps to talk it out, even when there are no more episodes of the show for a little while until they make some more episodes for us. I'm Fiona Williams, and I manage our online coverage of movies and TV here at SBS, and I'm joined by my friends, colleagues, and fellow resistors. Natalie Hambley, Managing Editor of SBS Voices.
Hello.
Hayley Island, Channel Manager of SBS On Demand.
Hello.
And Sana Kadar, host of All in the Mind for ABC Radio National.
Hi, hi.
Hello. We're back for another bonus episode of this mini-series of conversations with Emmy nominees because, as we know, Handmaid's Tale landed a record number of Emmy nominations for the series going into the Emmy Awards, which will be upon us very soon. So we've had just the best time having a chat with some of the show's outstanding nominees. And look, today is no exception. I don't know if you noticed, there was a character introduced this year who she made quite an impression when she came onto the scene in episode one of season four. Little Esther Keys. What a debut. We're very pleased to have joining us in our Zoom room today, McKenna Grace, who plays Esther Keys, and she is nominated and a hot favourite in the category of Outstanding Guest Actress in a Drama Series. And she's the youngest nominee ever to be in that category, and it follows that if she wins, she'll be the youngest winner. Yeah, and rightly so, because my God, what a debut she had this season, huh?
Mm-hmm. Such a great performance. I was so impressed when I found out that she was only 14.
Yeah.
Absolutely impressive.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, we all know how her character arc ended up. But, you know, on the bright side, that means guaranteed to see her again in season five. So she didn't meet a grisly exit. So, look, we've got a lot of questions. Let's welcome McKenna Grace into our Zoom room.
Hello.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi.
Thank you so much for joining us. What a treat to talk to Esther Keys. Yes. Look, well, I mean, congratulations on your Emmy nomination. That's so exciting. And what a story, what a character arc for Esther Keys. I mean, so much going on this season, and what a memorable debut you've had. You know, the world of Gilead is grim, and poor Esther, you know, she embodies the worst aspects of it, really. But to state the obvious, you know, you're the age of the character you're playing. How do you get in the headspace to tackle that those kind of really dark themes from the point of view of Esther?
Well, I mean, that was kind of important for me that I was that they actually hired someone the age of the character to play Esther, because as much as that upset some people, it's like, oh my God, she's 14. Well, at the time she was, I was like, I think I booked it whenever I was 13. So it was like over the course of 13, 14 area, it was like, ah, oh, she's so young. She should not be dealing with this mature subject matter, rawr, you know, but in reality, I feel like 13, 14-year-olds, the young girls who are actually going through that as their life shouldn't be having to go through it. So why does it matter if I, as a storyteller, am acting to spread awareness? So that was really important for me, and I felt honored that they chose me to play Esther. I mean, I think that just viewing it from that like standpoint, that was kind of what helped me get into the mode to tackle it all, because I mean, it's a reality for so many young girls. New York just passed the law that child marriage is illegal, that you have to be 18. They just did it, like 44 states around there allow child marriage. That is a reality for so many young girls that I don't think that it matters that I'm the actual age of the character. So that was really important.
Can you tell us about the audition process? Was there a particular scene that you ran through, and what was that process like?
I actually, the audition process, I had a session where Mr. Bruce Miller was in the room, and that was big nerve-wracking for me because I don't know, you know, it's Bruce. So going into the audition, I was so nervous. And my scene was actually the scene that I played out with Miss Lizzie Moss, where I'm giving her my entire backstory of all the trauma that Esther's been through. So that was hard, though. I had a lot of time to sit with that scene, which I think was good. But, you know, it was uncomfortable. It was uncomfortable to do, you know, in an audition space, in a small room, you know, with a camera and a few people. It was uncomfortable, but I think that something just like clicked in my head. I just kind of made a decision. I was like, you know what? I am not going to let myself like psych myself out because this is an uncomfortable scene. I feel like that should give me some sort of like power over the scene, not like make me uncomfortable and like shrink and mess up my audition. It's an important story. And I feel like as an actress, that's kind of the stories that I want to be able to tell. So I shouldn't let them make me uncomfortable. I should be uncomfortable for the girls who actually have to go through it.
Great.
When we first meet Esther, it's in the episode Pigs. And we see her reaction to meeting the famous and heroic June Osborne. And it's fascinating, you know, best described as hero worship possibly. And I wonder, just what do you put that down to? Why does Esther's character have such a strong reaction to June?
Well, I think, you know, she's so young going through all of this, and she's been in Gilead for how many years now? You know, that's been pretty much her whole life. But I feel like, you know, she still almost remembers what it was like before. Even though that's been her entire life, she knows that it's wrong, and she knows that she shouldn't be violated and feel this small. That's been her entire life. So I think that she's seen June and seen all of the good that she's done for the women of Gilead, and how June has taken power of her life and gone out there, and she started this noise, and Esther's heard it, you know, and that's been like her fixation is I think that's kind of her maybe coping is like, June, you know, the rebellion, they're gonna come and get me, they're gonna like, I'm gonna make it out of here. I think that is a big part of why she was so excited to meet June, because, you know, June's getting out. She's making noise.
One of the great things about your character was that she's both incredibly vulnerable, but also she has this sort of diabolical edge to her as well, where you never quite know how dangerous she is, I guess I would say. What was the challenge of playing those two extremes?
It was challenging trying to juggle all of Esther's different emotions because she's so complex. There is a whole storm of stuff going on underneath the skin. Because, I mean, it's one thing to be an emotional young woman, but then to add all of those traumas and the reality of growing up in Gilead into it. Mm. So, it was complicated, but It was also fun in a way, you know, to try and figure all of this out with my directors or with Miss Lizzie, which was quite lovely having her as a director. I mean, Esther is just so complicated. All of her emotions, she just shifts so quickly. So, I mean, honestly, I'm still trying to figure her out after my episodes. I've been trying my very best with balancing all of her emotions.
Yeah, sure.
This season was famously suspended because of COVID. I'm wondering, how much did you get to shoot before you had to stop and, you know, everyone went on hiatus?
Well, that's a funny question because that hiatus was so long. I am so thankful that I did like not just sprout up during that time. Goodness, being a child actor is scary, you know?
Yeah.
But how much did we shoot before then? Maybe... We shot quite a bit. How long? Oh my gosh, that was a big point, was that whenever we were first shooting it, we shot a good considerable amount and it was snowing. It was like winter. Mm. And then we came back. It was like 6 months later. Yeah, sorry, I'm looking to my mom because I'm like, when did we, like, how long was it? But like, we were there and it was snowing and then in the scenes, and that was a point. Like, I remember, like, I had the scene where I had an umbrella. I think that might be still in there, but it was snowing and the farm is like covered in snow. and then we get there And it's like a total like change. It's all of a sudden like summery-ish. We did have to reshoot all of the outside scenes because of the snow. And I appreciate that we got to go back and redo some of our scenes, though, because 6 months is a long time and it's not like a huge revelation, but I kind of like had a lot of time to sit with the character. And I think that the writers had a lot of time to sit with my scenes. So we kind of got to flesh out Esther a lot more over those 6 months, which I thought was quite nice. But I mean, it's not preferred to spend 6 months apart in shooting, but it was all right, you know.
Were you able to get through sort of the first couple of episodes before things went on break, or were you sort of in the middle of an episode when everything stopped? Do you remember?
Like, we probably shot for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Not like it felt like we got through a considerable amount of scenes, but did we even finish?
You're getting ready to do this scene with Lizzie. Remember?
Oh, and I guess I was so getting. Yeah, I get. Oh, really? So the scene. Oh, I'm sorry. I'm like looking at my mom because I have a horrible memory of like things like this. But I guess the very next day after we had gotten shut down was supposed to be my scene that I had auditioned with. It was my story, and I was just. I was excited because I'd been sitting with that for a while, and I was like, I'm really excited to get her story out there and be able to play Esther and raise awareness. And I was really excited to be able to portray that scene because I had been, I don't know, I just sat with it for a while. And then we went on to set and we had a meeting, and they were like, well, we're going to, every other production's like getting shut down. And I think that we're going to shut down. And I was like, because the week before, I had just made a PowerPoint on how COVID was going to be like the common cold and how it was not going to affect us. Because my mom was freaking out. She was like, this is going to be scary. And I was like, oh, please, this is going to be fine. I went back through my diary of early COVID and it said, my mom says that COVID can spread through the air and we need to wear masks. Okay.
Mom knows best.
Gosh. Yeah, you told me so.
She called that's for sure. It's funny you mentioned the growth spurt risk because, you know, you do look a lot older in the later scenes, certainly when you're the handmaid. That's, yeah. At the end of your nominated episode, Pigs, you know, Esther is strongly encouraged by June to go to town on that evil guardian. It's a lot. Can you talk us through filming that scene? And I mean, as well, I should say we spoke to Burton LeBlanc, head of the makeup department, who was very funny in saying how much he loves to work with blood. Like, he just loves putting more blood on. As the recipient of the blood, you know, you're wearing a lot of it. Tell us from your side of it.
I was standing, they had me like standing on a tarp and they like were spraying me with this little like spray thing. And oh, this was so odd. They gave me like a rag soaked in the fake blood and they went, we want you to like pretend to stab with all of the full force. That way we get the splatters back on you, like as if you had actually stabbed someone. And I was like, whatever you say. And so I was just like going to town and I was like, good? And they're like, no, keep going. And so it was just blood everywhere. It was wild, hard to clean out of my nail beds. But it was an interesting scene to shoot, you know, going in there. I've never done anything like that before.
Handmaids has a, you know, a really dedicated fan base. And I wonder if you've paid attention to the kind of fan reactions to your character. I mean, it's crazy, I think, that some people have, you know, reacted more to the sight of Esther smoking than to, you know, witnessing her tearing someone to shreds. What's your take on that?
So I don't read a ton. I try not to read like a ton of like reviews or like reactions or anything, because I'm like, I was told that like if you read like the good reviews and the good comments, that you're going to have to read and believe the bad ones too. So like, I choose not to like read a ton, but I've been excited that people are receiving my character well. That's been a big plus for me. I've been very happy. I mean, the smoking, I remember they were going to cut it out of, I think it was the scene where I'm standing on the hay bale and then I run down and I'm like, June, you're here. I think they were going to cut the cigarette out of that, but Miss Elizabeth Moss had taught me how to smoke the fake cigarettes already. And that's like, I was taught how to smoke a cigarette by Elizabeth Moss. So that's exciting. I don't know. It felt like such an interesting part of the character, because you see this little wife. She's just standing there in her dress, standing on a hay bale. You know, she's jumping up and down the hay bale, like kicking hay and smoking a cigarette, like this young woman, you know. And I think that it's really interesting to see that switch. Oh, there's a spider here. But that it's a baby one. Just let it be. It's tiny.
Where is it?
It's here. Just let it live. sorry, it's a baby. But just to see those two different sides of Esther, because I think that it's definitely jarring whenever you see her at first with her cigarette. She's like, June, you know. I thought that was important. So I remember before the scene, I was sitting in my trailer and I sent Lizzie and Bruce an email. And I was like, I think that I'd really like to try it with a cigarette. And if we don't like it, then we can cut it out. But I'd love to at least try like a take or two. And then it ended up being in it. So
I guess the fact that people reacted strongly to it means that the effect you intended, you know, came across.
yeah, it's a shocker. I mean, but then again, Esther is a whole thing to unwrap. She's just a shocker in herself.
Well, it sort of leads into our next question, which is working with Lizzie Moss, because one of the great things about Esther is that she has so many scenes with June. So I'd love to hear more. What was it like working with Lizzie? What did you learn from her? Can you talk a bit about that experience?
Well, she's one of the most incredible actresses I've ever worked with. She is so professional, but she's so friendly and kind and nice on set. But she, just scooting back so the spider doesn't get me, but she can just totally switch. Like, one minute she'll be talking and laughing with you, and then the next she'll do like her, she'll be in the scene doing her serious, you know, her June face, the classic, yeah, like that. Or she'll just like switch right into crying, or it's incredible to watch. And everything that she says in the scene is so realistic. I could rant for hours about how much I love her and respect her as an actress. I think that she is just magnificent. And getting to work with her as a director as well, that meant so much to me, as something that I just realized, because I'm taking a women in cinema course right now for college, and I watched this documentary called This Changes Everything. I realized in the 10 years that I've been acting and over the 50 projects that I've done, I've only worked with a women director about 3 times, maybe 4. Wow. It's not common. I've not worked with a lot of women directors at all in the 10 years of my acting career. So getting to work with someone like Lizzie was so inspiring. I think that she's just such an incredible woman. So powerful. I love her.
Wow. Only 3 directors in 10 years. That's incredible. And I guess, yeah, and like you, though, she was, you know, she's been acting from a young age. Were you guys able to connect on that as well, and the fact that you've both been child actors?
We didn't talk about it a lot. I don't think that I realized that she was a child actor as well until I was watching a movie, and I was like, no, that's Lizzie? it was really funny. I think that it was Girl Interrupted. And then I was like, yep. Oh, yeah. You're kidding. But I never knew. I think that it's really cool for me to be able to work with people who have been child actors before. But I think that I never know that they're a child actor at the time until I go home. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's so-and-so. Why didn't I ask them what it was like for them? Because I don't know. I think that it's always cool to hear what other people's experiences were like, especially with adults who worked in the industry, you know, such and such years ago, what it was like then.
Yeah. Well, you're back next season, so maybe you can still ask.
True.
I'd love to talk about Janine for a minute.
Absolutely.
So obviously at the end of the season, a little bit of a relationship builds between Esther and Janine. And I'd love to hear you describe how you see that kind of evolution happen across the season and where it might be going.
Well, I thought that it was so fun that she, in the farmhouse, you know, she was like, we don't waste food in my household, and had that whole scene where she was covering Janine's mouth, you know, and she was pretty horrible to Janine at first. And then it kind of flipped to where Janine was, you know, the one who had the upper hand. Mm-hmm. And instead of fighting fire with fire, she came back and she was like, you know, like, you've got to eat, you've got to get through this, because she was scared for what would happen to Esther if she didn't, although Esther was pretty bad to her. And I love Janine, and I love Miss Madeline as an actress. I think that she's wonderful. So it was really lovely getting to work on Janine and Esther's relationship with her, and getting to have so many scenes with her. I have no idea where it is going to go, because I feel like Esther is so unpredictable as a character. Mm-hmm. And I have no idea what's going to happen next season. I don't have any ideas. And I'm excited to see how Janine and Esther develop as a duo. Because I feel like now Janine is kind of the June, and now Esther is kind of the Janine, you know? It's kind of the duo has kind of switched. And I'm excited to see what happens. Yeah. Honestly, I'm just on the edge of my seat as much as everyone else is.
Tell us about finding out that you have an Emmy nomination. That is amazing. Well, how did you find out? Whereabouts were you? How did you react?
I was sitting in the trailer watching the Emmy nomination like announcements with my mom, and I was doing my friend's art homework. My friend with their art homework. I wasn't doing it, but I was sitting there, and I was like sketching something out for them that I was going to send over and be like, hey, this is like what you need to do. I was helping my friend with their art homework. I was drawing for my friend, and then right as it, before it got to my category, like it cut out on my phone. I was like, dadgum. Oh, it's fine. It's not like anything anyway, because I didn't see it coming at all. And then like 2 minutes later, my dad called us, and he was like on his way to work, and then he was crying, and my mom went, why are you crying? We were like, what's going on? Shut up. You're kidding. No. And he, and we were like, you must have read it wrong. That's not like, that didn't happen. I think that I have the whole interaction on video, but we were like, that didn't, that's not, no. And he was like, yes. And then we both just started crying, because that's just, I've always wanted to be like invited to the Emmys or something, or get to go, or get to wear a nice dress and sit in the audience, you know? That's a dream of mine, was always to get to go to one of those award shows, much less to be nominated. I am honored, because that has just been a dream of mine for as long as I can remember. And I always hoped to be able to go to the Emmys someday, and I never thought it would be this soon in my career. And I am truly honored that I got to be a part of Handmaids, and that I got to be able to join on such an incredible television show, because I know that I get to go to the Emmys with them because of how well my cast members have done before me. And I can't believe that I get to be a part of it.
It's amazing.
And is it true that if you win, you will be the youngest recipient in the category? Is that correct?
I think, I mean, right now I'm the youngest person ever nominated for that category, which is insane to me.
That's incredible.
Like, I'm so happy, and it's wild. I never would have thought in a million years that I would be going to the Emmys this year. And I genuinely am just so thankful. I'm like, somebody pinch me. Wait, don't. I don't want to wake up.
Well, I think it's worth a massive congratulations even at this point. So congratulations.
Yeah. Last year, the Emmys, I was sitting on the floor. We had a TV on the floor, actually. We were like a little house with our director and his family, and then Maddie, and me and Maddie were sitting on the floor watching the Emmys on a TV last year. And then it's really funny, because now both of us get to go together this year, and it's exactly a year apart, and I don't think that either of us expected it.
It's fantastic. And, you know, we have to acknowledge, of course, you know, you're about to be in what's shaping up to be the movie of the holiday season, in the Ghostbusters film, Ghostbusters Afterlife, which I think you shot a little while ago, didn't you? It's you look very young. Speaking of growth spurts, what's it like to finally have that on the verge of coming out into the world for people to see it?
I'm so ready. I'm so ready. And people, I haven't even seen the film yet. And I am, I'm so ready for it to come out. It was supposed to come out, you know, summer 2020. Then it was going to be sometime later in 2020. It's August of 2021. I've been waiting so long for it to come out because I had the most fun shooting it. And Ghostbusters has always been one of my like childhood favorites. I used to like carry around a plastic Slimer toy with me whenever I was little. And it's always been one of my favorite films. So to get to be a part of the franchise was a really big deal for me. And I still feel really thankful that I was able to. But I'm just so ready for the world to see it. I'm so ready for it to come out. I genuinely cannot wait.
Yeah, no, there's a hungry appetite for it for sure. Yeah. I mean, movies, it's great to have movies again, you know, where cinemas are open as well.
My gosh, I was shooting something in Louisiana over like this summer, and we were staying in an apartment like right above a cinema, and me and the other kids, it was with other kids, and we'd walk down, we were all in the same apartment complex, and we'd walk to the theater every single day. And if we didn't, we would watch a movie sometimes, but it was just so nice to be inside a cinema. We'd go in and I'd make them take like photos on the photo strips with me, and then we'd buy ices and candy and leave, or we'd go in and we'd watch like we'd watch movies, and it was just so cool to be able to be in a theater again. I love it. I missed it so much. I didn't realize how much I missed being in a movie theater until I was watching movies in the theater, and I was like, oh, this is so much better than like, oh, I just love it.
Yeah, same. I miss popcorn. look, thank you so much. It is such a thrill to talk to you. We've loved your work across this season. Can't wait to see more. Yeah, we're starved of episodes, but can't wait till you all get back together and, come for what I'm sure is going to be an amazing season 5. McKenna Grace, thank you so much. This has been fantastic.
It's been wonderful. Thank you.
Yeah. And good luck.
Yeah,
best thanks. Of luck. Come in. Yes, good luck. Yeah.
Thank you guys so much. This was lovely. Y'all are all wonderful.
Well, she could not have been more fun.
That was fantastic.
How fun to be able to do that from such a young age. That's so cool.
She's so lucky, I think, in that, as she was saying, it's so male dominated, you know, in front of the camera and behind the camera. But in this experience, she's had so many scenes with women, you know, and then also had Lizzie directing. Like, that's what a great experience.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's consciously that gender balance across the directing of Handmaids and involvement in the story. So, yeah.
Imagine having 50 credits to your name when you're only 15 and have been acting for 10 years. That's just incredible.
Yeah. With McKenna Grace, esteemed Esther Keys, I think that brings to an end our bonus episode run of Conversations with Emmy Nominees. I know. Well, we have to do it with Emmy winners. Yeah, well, we'll find more reasons to come back. And, you know, maybe Margaret Atwood's writing a book in lockdown. Who knows? No, I'm not breaking news there. I have no idea. Look, we'll find a reason to regroup. Yeah, these have been so good. And you know, looking at tweets, people have been loving them too, just these deep dives, as we all know how much everyone loves and we love. I mean, I've just had a ball and it's great that other people enjoy it too, you know?
Well, so much hard work goes into this show. It's been amazing just to find out from the costumes to makeup to sound, like all of it. It's just been there's just so much to go into. So, yes, let's do 10 more.
Absolutely.
And going forward, I'm going to appreciate so much more about any new episodes that I watch, because I've just gained such a better understanding of everything that goes into it.
Yeah, totally.
So thank you for listening. We hope these episodes have helped expand your appreciation of season 4 of The Handmaid's Tale. And look, if they've inspired you to go and rewatch the season, you can do so at SBS On Demand, where the box set of season 4 is streaming. And if you speak other languages or know someone who does, SBS On Demand has subtitled versions in simplified Chinese and in Arabic. And I just want to thank my co-hosts for these bonus episodes and just for any excuse to get back together, but especially to talk Handmaids. Thank you, Haiti Island, Sana Kadar, and Natalie Handley. And thank you for listening. We love that you choose to watch this series along with us, and we'd love to know what you think of these bonus episodes. You can reach out to us on Twitter. You can find me at anythingbutfifi. Haiti, where can we find you?
At Haiti Island.
Sana, where can we find you?
At Sana _ Kadar.
And Natalie, where can we find you?
At Natalie Hambly.
And remember to use the hashtag EyesOnGilead. That's how we see your tweets. And while we have you, why not leave some feedback and give us a rating on your favourite podcast app? It helps other people to find the show. Eyes on Gilead is produced by me, Fiona Williams, and edited and mixed by Jeremy Wilmot. Until next time, whenever that may be, don't let the bastards grind you down. You don't own me. I'm not your property. So take your dirty, filthy, stinking eyes off me.
It's a baby one. Just let it be. It's tiny.
Where is it?
It's here. Just let it live.
Need a few minutes to reset? Great Minds is a podcast from SBS that guides you through different meditation styles from around the world. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.